about Jehoshaphat and him being thankful for what the Lord did for him, and that kind of the overall the Sunday school I'm talking about. I've been talking about prayer. 1,100 references to prayer about prayer in the scriptures. That's quite a bit. So obviously, if there's a lot of references in it, obviously it's that we should pay attention to. Obviously, we have doctrinal, but when you look at people's life, they wonder, well, you know, how is your prayer life? You're reading your Bible, witnessing. Those are three things all kind of tied together that kind of fulfill a believer. You know, it's expected of a believer to be, hey, are you reading your Bible? Are you praying? And are you witnessing? Those are the, you know, kind of a three. God does things in threes, you know. And that's the three things he uses in Scripture here. And I always, way back in the day when I started, I used Colossians 4:12. Continue in prayer and watch. And the same with thanksgiving. Get a little bit of that today. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, interesting about this says, without ceasing. Bible says ever. Sometimes you see the word forever or without ceasing. I always look at this context. It tells you what it is. And it is with distinction or without exception. That's something you should know. It's a Bible hermeneutic, they call that. So how can, when you see that prayer without ceasing, that mean that we always go around praying all the time? Well, if we did that, we can do anything else. Obviously, it is with distinction. It's like Paul comes home and his wife goes, I cleaned the whole house. Well, you know, that's a saying. You know, he probably could find some little spot over the carpeting she didn't clean. The saying, obviously, you know. So it's with distinction. But obviously, it does mean something here, you know. And since we have this day coming of Thanksgiving, you know, coming up here in November, I think it's one of the better, quote, celebration, call a holiday, holy day, because, you know, that's something that, what are you thankful of? Well, the believer has a lot to be thankful for, amen? You know, that's kind of a holiday they kind of don't even really have anymore. They're putting up Halloween decorations, right, at Christmas, because what are they thankful for? They can't make much money out of being thankful, whatever, you know, kind of come and goes, you know, but it's a real important thing, and it's important to God, because when it comes to prayer and thanksgiving, they're kind of put together, and I'm going to show you this here in a minute, how really kind of important it is. So we're going to talk a little about that today in thanksgiving and prayer. Notice it says in everything here, in verse I read in verse number 18, in everything. When God says something like that there, and look at the spiritual condition they had at Thessalonians, believers, this kind of, I think, has to do with your attitude. And that's the key thing, you know. I'm big on application. And you ever heard the saying, attitude is everything? It really is. I mean, you have two employees, and they show up on time. They're good workers. You know, they're everything the same. But one has an attitude, a good attitude, right? One has a bad. It means everything. So attitude, everything. I think you see that in Scripture here when it comes to prayer and thanksgiving. I'll show you some examples, and God puts them in the Scripture. And I think attitude really is everything when it comes to ushering our walk with the Lord. So I'm going to cover that, looking at attitude and prayer, okay? Now, what's interesting, I've been into the prison system for a long time. In fact, I figured it out. I think I've been in prison for 6 months straight. If you take 24 hours, sometimes time I spent in prison. And I've been going to the nursing home or to the missions for a long time. And here's something I found very strange. When I'm there, a lot of believers come to me and they go, man, God is so good. And it took me a while. I go, I mean, they're in prison. And they go, hey, I got here because I made some bad choices. But they're still thanking God in the situation they have. That always impressed me, especially when I go to the mission. They have everything they have in a plastic bag. They're walking. Can you imagine everything you have in a plastic bag? I mean, come on now. Yeah, we have garages full of stuff, you know. It's our stuff, you know. And here they are, and they always come to me and go, hey, God is good. And they're all thankful. Especially in prison, I've heard that. And I'm looking. I know that they're spending their day in a little room, probably like, oh, maybe 10 by 6 with someone else. It's dark and it's hot and it's smelly. And they spend 8 hours sleeping there, 8 hours in that room, and 8 hours outside the room. But they're thankful. Well, that's an attitude. And that's something to take note. You know why? Because in the situation they're at, they're thankful. And I'll show you kind of in Scripture why that kind of is. And not even believers, they have a lot of stuff miss this over here. Okay, so we want to make a point of that here. Now, look at the best example we have, the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ introduced the institution of a New Testament, he gave thanks. Matthew 26, 27 says, "And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it." Mark mentions it again, "and took the cup, and when he given thanks, he gave it to them and divided amongst themselves." Luke 22, 17, "And he took the cup and gave thanks, and take this and drink of it." So here we have it in three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And when God mentions three times, obviously pay attention. You look at the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and when they mention it sometimes three times, take special note. You know, repetition is what God wants you to pay attention to them. And now in the New Testament, it's mentioned again in 1 Corinthians 11:14 says, "And when he's explaining this ordinance, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." And then he added this do in remembrance of me. Obviously now what happened is after Calvary, it's a remembrance. Amen? So you can see that great act that the Lord did. He's given thanks for something that obviously is well done. So the Lord Jesus Christ knew in advance that he would be a very tough thing for him to do, but he did it and honored his Father and was thankful. What a great example that is. So obviously, you know what though? It's best to follow someone's example. You know what's interesting is the Lord gave all he could his life and was thankful. You know, back in World War One and Two, they had those kamikaze pilots. You know what though? Yeah, they're training the pilots to go do it. But how about the guy training him? He ain't doing it. He's having the other guys do the kamikaze. How about that? You know, I mean, come on. You're not leading by example. Same thing with a lot of these Muslims, extremists. You know, you blow yourself up and you'll be in heaven with all these virgins. Yeah, they're telling them, but they ain't doing it. You see what I'm saying? Bunch of hypocrites. Oh, why don't you lead by example, Mr. Kamikaze man? But here the Lord was pleasing his Father and being an example. That's an amazing thing. There's also some examples of not being thankful after a situation. Now, let me give you a personal example. Some of you know I got saved in the beer industry. I mean, I was right in the beer industry when I got saved. I was saved, and I had a lot of zeal, but a lot of Bible knowledge. Obviously, you know, being in the beer industry is not a good industry to be in, being a believer. Now, it took 3 or 4 months to get me out of there. Obviously, you know, I was all the excitement of being saved. And the Lord, like a newborn babes, if you have a little baby to do foolish things, of course, because, you know, obviously, if I'm in a beer business now, being saved for almost 40 years, I probably wouldn't be here. Stage Sunday school. Obviously, I'm not very mature. But you understand that. As newborn babe, desire the sincere milk that they may grow thereby. So I had some milk, and I got out of it. And it was pretty easy for me to get out because I was single. I had no wife or no kids yet, whatever, you know. So, you know, and then I don't know, but it was a guy by the name of Alof Coors Beer. I don't know if you ever remember this, but back in the days, commercial, he used to be on the commercial. Good-looking guy with white hair. It was Alof Coors III. And if you look at his story, he had some troubles in his life. I think his son got killed in a car accident, and the Lord was dealing with him, and he got saved, and he left the beer industry. And he goes, "I'm leaving it all behind." When you leave the dough behind, that's a pretty good deal. You know he's really saved when he's leaving away the course third. "I'm leaving the whole industry behind." I think he got into the financial planning type thing, whatever he was doing, but he left that whole thing. That told me he was really converted. So there's some cost for him. But here's my example. I was going to a church. Pastor Dinwiddie, he's kind of reminds me of Pastor Hoffman, he's a very humble guy. You know, humility is a tough thing, you know. I mean, he's a real humble guy. And I remember I went with him for 5 years, soul winning. I think I missed 2 or 3 days. He thought me the bedside manner of the only people. I mean, there's a side, but nice to have someone that right there, experienced guy. He was in the 70s back then. He and I had all that experience listening to what to say. But there was a person here that was in the beer industry like I was. And he got saved. He was saved. His wife was saved. They worked for Miller Brewing Company, Miller Lite and all that. And so he didn't push him, but he goes, hey, Tim, come over and just tell him your testimony, you know, real gracefully, you know, how the Lord got you out of there and so forth. And I was telling him, and he kind of knew he needed to leave, but he had a wife and kids and bills and payments. And you know what the Lord did? He kind of was kind of dealing with them. And he was a driver where he had the bringing the beer with all the carts. He ended up falling off the roof, breaking his back. So you think, now for sure, he's going to get out of the business. I mean, we never said anything, but he knew he had to kind of get out of that thing because, you know, how do you be in the beer industry? And you know what, though? And instead of getting out, they made him a sales representative inside the. And after a while, we never seen him again. So here's sometimes an example. God's dealing with you on a situation and not being, he was real bitter and stuff. You're not being real thankful. What happens, that'll affect your walk. So I've seen that happen young on. So be careful if you have something happen to you and be not being thankful with it when you know it'll, maybe it's the Lord's will. So there's an example where you got to be a little careful of that. Now, another application is shown about a liberal giving by the Corinthians. And Paul has this great saying here in 2 Corinthians 9:15. He says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And the context of this was manifested in the giving of the Corinthian church. They were good givers. And you know what, though? They had the Lord's example, who gave his life. Think about it. I mean, I wrote an article when I was with the Gideons. I used to be the chaplain over there. I go, the Lord gave all he could. He didn't have his pillow to wave with his hand. They didn't have property. He gave his, they made cast lots for his garment. Remember that? They cast lots for his garment. He had nothing. I mean, naked going into the world. Naked, he went out. He's up in the open. And he gave the only thing he could, his life. I mean, that's all he had was his life. He gave everything he had, his life. And these Corinthian believers, because of the Lord's example, they're giving of their material possessions. I mean, that's something, you know, when you give something of a material possession, you know what that is? That represents your time. If you have resources, whatever that is, unless you got it from somebody, that represents your time that you put in what you have. More important, the older you get, folks, some of us are older, you know what happens? We understand how precious our time is, amen? And when you're a snapper, I got plenty of time. When you get up there, by me, your time is very precious. And if you made some resources, it took you an hour, 5 hours, 10 hours, whatever that took. That's your blood and sweat in there because you turn your time into resources. Back in the old days, you'd barter. You know, back in the old days, people don't understand that. It's not, we trade with money and finances, but let's say, for example, you need some honey. Someone show you how to get honey from somewhere or maple from a tree, and then you learn that skill, then you have that skill as well. So then you would trade what you learn for something else, and you barter stuff. Yeah, you know, cutting a tree down or building something. Now we do that with the money system. It makes us sometimes think about that because we you know everything's done by the financial system, and you lose skills and talents. But here again, the Corinthians, they were good givers. And now God gives us an opposite example of that, found in Ephesians 5, 3 and 4. It says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. These are believers that he's writing to. Neither filthiness or foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient, but rather give thanks. So here is a bunch of believers that are obviously in some type of sin. And notice how it says, but rather give thanks. You know what, though? If you're a thankful person with a good attitude, I tell you what, you're probably not going to fall on some of these type of things right here. You can see this old saying, it says, idle mind or idle hand is a devil workshop. Well, I believe that. Well, I mean, you can get scripture on that. But without a doubt, folks that have it kind of easy or too much time in their hands, generally getting into trouble. I mean, especially in our age, you're watching a boot tube. You know, I see, you know, when I turn the my computer around, I get the, I don't know, whatever comes up, website comes up, they have the top stories. I kind of look at them just to see what's going on with the pushing. And over the years, what I've noticed, a lot of people, this person died. Some, you know, Elvis Presley's grandkid committed suicide, drugs. I mean, they have too much time on their hands. They have too much time because they have something, give it to them. Hey, when you're young working and you have a wife and kids, what are you doing? You're working. You gotta get moving there. I guarantee if you have a wife and kids, no one's throwing a firecracker on your bed to get you out in the morning, amen? You gotta come home, put some bread on the table, amen? You know what I'm saying? I've been around a while, you know? So, but if you haven't got that going, you know what happens? You fall into trouble, certainly. And not only unbelievers, we see it all online, but believers too. Sometimes that's not good to have these people here. But rather giving thanks. You know what though? You're hanging around with somebody, some sourpuss, you probably ain't got a lot of good friends because no one wants to hang around with a sourpuss. Amen? You know what I'm saying? So people want to be around people with a good attitude. That's what that joy is. Jesus, others, yourself. When it's all about yourself, me, myself, and I, these type of things go past. When you're giving thanks, who you give thanks to? The Lord, right? So there's that. It's always come back on this here. Now, an attitude is portrayed is not making, not. Here's an example here in Romans, where this is a young believer. If you look at Romans 14, 1 to 6, we have some young believer here. It says young believer here. Look at 14. 1 is kind of giving an example here where God's putting something here we can look at a little bit. In verse 14, chapter Romans says, to him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not the doubtful disputations. And he goes on. I'm going to cover in a minute here. So obviously I'm a new believer here. And what it's telling you here, that is, there's some non-essentials here. And it says, and Paul concludes in verse 6 of Romans, he that regardeth the day, regard it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he did not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he give God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he give God thanks. God is looking for a thankful heart. So here's somebody that was kind of maybe they're looking at some food maybe they shouldn't eat, you know, non-essential, so to speak, or maybe a holy day. And one was thankful, and even the guy that knew better was not thankful. Later on, it talks about being fully persuaded. Obviously, sometimes you get fully persuaded on something. That's a conviction to you, but maybe it ain't somebody else yet. I mean, pastor, for example, pastor is fully persuaded about Christmas. Amen, right? You know? Now, I don't think you ever go on your house and probably said, your Christmas tree, shame on you. He's fully persuaded. I think, praise the Lord. But he knows that maybe we're not yet. I mean, I have things in my house. I mean, I know, big deal, whatever. I'm not going to. But in other words, I'm thankful whether you're doing that or not. There's an attitude there. So don't be careful. Someone that maybe is not quite where maybe you ought to think you ought to be. And thankful, that's a good thing to be. I mean, you know, part of anything is some motivation and a good attitude. And God makes it real clear here, and it comes through with thanksgiving and prayer. It's tied so close together. It really is. Now, interesting here. Now, I have the Easter bunny. I have people that are doing Easter bunnies or maybe, you know, Santa Claus and young believers or Halloween's a real tough one. But, you know, you give them some grace and mercy and see where they're at, whatever. So there's some things you got to be careful. Sometimes you can be so fundamental on somebody, you know, you're not doing what the Lord says. Now, interesting here. In our present day, we live in the last days of the church. I mean, I know the last days generally mean second coming, but we are in the later days of the church. And God gave us a real clear thing right here. Look at a hope which should help our attitudes. And it's found in 1 Corinthians 15, 51, 57. This is a great one for us in our later days of church. It says, behold, I show you mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and the mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But here it is, but thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's a saying that really kind of gone through all ages. Imagine during the dark ages or some days of the West, and things were maybe as easy as they were today. You can go to the store and buy a loaf of bread. You got to go get the wheat, grind it up, bake it, and get a loaf of bread. It wasn't like, buy it and there it is. But you know what, though? That's a great foundation for victory. And obviously, some of the context is here is the body getting changed, that 96-year-old gal, and your dad's 94. I mean, you know what, though? If you're saved, you know what, though? New body, amen? My body. Me and my wife were aching a little bit here and there. I mean, I shot a deer Friday, a buck, and I dragged it out. Man, oh, man, I was worn out. It was only about 70 yards. I don't know what I'm doing anymore. I thought I could find some young people to go hunting with because it was a lot of work. I was exhausted. I go, Gene, get some bottled water for me here. I guess here. So things don't move as fast as they do when I was younger, believe me. So I know that. Amen. You know, so you know what I'm saying? So things just wear it out. So though, thanks be to God, there's victory, new body. Amen. And that's a great hope, the Lord coming back. And we know it's close. There's some folks here that are struggling a little bit, a lot of different ways. You know what their answer is? The Lord Jesus Christ. Danny Castle has a sign over his pulpit. Jesus Christ is the answer to everything. That's true. I mean, think about it. It is. It's the answer to everything. Amen? So that's kind of what is happening here, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, his example to follow. That should help us out as we see this day approaching. Now, look at this here in closing here a little bit here. Paul. Thanksgiving prayer to the Philippians in Philippians 1:3-7. Let's just go to there and look at this for a little bit here, and I'll kind of tie this thing together here. Look at attitude and some things. Okay. Philippians chapter number 1, verse 3 says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. He's speaking to the Philippian people there. Always in every, there's an always again, you know. There's that walk. See, always. Is he always thanking them for them? It's an attitude he has. Get that? In every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day and the now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have put in my heart insomuch as both in my bonds and in the difference and confirmation of the gospel. Ye are all partakers of my grace. Now, a couple things I'm pointing out here. Here's the bottom line. I'll cover a few things. Bottom line, the greatest Christian of all time was thankful for people for their spiritual growth. Think about that. Yeah, your spiritual growth. And while he was in prison, there's that joy again, right? Jesus, others, yourself. Here's in prison. Oh, poor me. You know, I'm in prison here. You know, hey, what are you thinking of? Of their spiritual growth. Now look over here. Interesting here. It seems that Paul joyfully prayed in verse 4. So verse 4, he's telling you how joyfully was he praying. And was thankful from their conversion. Verse 5. See, it says right here. See, on the fellowship of the gospel from the first day until now. So obviously these people, there was some conversions going on there. He's thankful. And then look, verse 6, about his works. So you want to see someone getting saved and doing some works. You know, a lot of people might get saved. You ever see them again? Whatever happened to them, right? It's nice to be able to see people get saved and now start to grow, doing some works, verse 6. And the defense and stance in verse 7. Here, they had a they had a, they're standing for something. You know, sometimes what happens, you trust someone gets saved, and they have some family members come at them. Maybe there's some mom or dad or aunts, and they get real scared, and they're secret agents. You know what I'm saying? So here are these people here. They were saved. They were doing some work, and they had a stance of the gospel. The main way you're going to grow is to feed on the Word of God and doctrine, which he was feeding them. And then it says in verse 7, my grace. Now, it's interesting about that. That phrase, my grace, only appears twice in the Scripture. And it appears here, and tied together, and also the phrase used in 2 Corinthians 12:19, when Paul besought the Lord to remove a thorn in his flesh. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee. So Paul, or God, thought Paul, he had a thorn in the flesh, and I don't exactly know what that is, so it's an eye thing or troubles, whatever it is. But he went to say, hey, you're going to have some troubles. And he thought he'd resolve it. My grace is sufficient for thee. And now Paul, knowing this, made himself available to the Philippian believers, showed him that his grace was sufficient even for him. You know, a lot of times, God will give you something over here. Why is he dealing with me on that? Because you're going to be able to use that with you to help people out later on. That's what God does. Why this? Why did I have this trouble in my life or whatever it is? And don't worry about it. You're going to be, that grace you bestowed, you have to show to others that you've been through. That's how you comfort one another in Corinthians there. See that? That's what kind of happening here. And he was thankful for it. Man, having in jail, cared about people's spiritual growth, had some troubles, give some grace. That's what he called a great attitude. I mean, so summing up here a little bit here, what are some things here from this real quick lesson on prayer and thankfulness that we can come from? Number one, what the Lord did for us, his example. That's what I was saying. Sometimes we lose the focus. You know, keep it simple. Keep it simple, simple. What is our great example? Just cover that there. What Paul did and said for the church. The church is the body of Christ. Amen? So here's Paul's example for us, the body of Christ. And again, three, what biblical examples we have in Scripture that God gave us. You know, what best thing to do? Learn from good examples and bad examples. Amen? You don't want to be that bad example. You don't mind being a good example of someone, right? But you want to be the one, and hey, I guarantee you, if you can go back privately and change one, two, or three things in your life, a piece of paper, you'd do it. Amen? I got my little list. I'm sure you have a list too. Amen? Would you go back to whatever that list is? Hopefully it ain't too long. But you try to change some things. Hebrews 13:5 says, by him, therefore, after all the heroes of the faith and all went through, look at what verse it says here in 13:15 in Hebrews. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. There's that word, continually, I mean, with the exception or distinction. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks on his name. That's an attitude. You see how the guy always puts it in there. Hey, how's your attitude on that? Being thankful? See, it's a kind of a basic thing to prayer. I mean, if you're not have a good attitude and thankful, or you should be, you're not going to be effective, it seems like, in prayer or your witness or whatever it is. It's kind of basic, but yet very true. And last thing, having the Word of God and know it is so. We have that today. I mean, back then, it's issued today. You know, now as we have it in our hand, those are without a doubt things that could give you a great, prayerful, grateful attitude. Real kind of simple, nothing real deep today, but some things that you have to kind of think about with prayer and thankfulness. Okay? All right. Any questions or comments on anything? All right, well, Father in heaven, thank you very much for just a little Bible study here, and just to kind of get back some basics, but you lay out some things in Scripture so that you be glorified and we brag on you and may we make you happy, Father. So we just pray, Lord, maybe remind us of these things. Maybe there's someone here who needs to be reminded of them, whatever. They're pretty basic. Sometimes we have to go back to those things, Father, and be a blessing to you and others, Lord. And we thank you very much for it. May you just continue to work. Look forward to seeing and hearing from Pastor Hoffman today, is preaching and fellowshipping and some music. We give you the praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.